Good afternoon, sweet listener. Happy Friday, first Friday. You are tuned into KDNK, Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, and you are tuned into Express Yourself. To kick us off, I am very excited. I am joined, hopefully on the phone. I always feel like it's a gamble when I do phone calls because I'm still, like, I can do this for years and I'll still feel new, I swear. But Dean from Upstate, I just heard you laugh, so thank you for the confirmation that I didn't mess that up.
Anytime.
Appreciate you so much. And I heard that you are, in fact, en route here to Carbondale. So you are planning on making the show at Steve's Guitars tonight.
Yes, we are planning on making it. It's been a couple of snafus here and there today with the van and brakes and all sorts of wild stuff. But, you know, if you can get stranded on top of a mountain in this kind of place, not too bad. So, you know, we sorted it all out and we're on our way.
You've got a good attitude about it. And, like, you're totally right, obviously. There are far uglier, worse places to be stranded for a moment.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So have you guys played Steve's Guitars before?
No, we haven't actually. We're not sure what we're walking into, but we're pretty excited about it.
I am very excited for you. I mean, not to gush over Steve's Guitars too much. Steve, if you're listening, you obviously know how much I adore you and your venue, but it is probably top five favorite venues for me on the planet.
Oh my God. All right. Well then, hey, we are really excited.
Right? It's just the coolest, funkiest vibe. And like, it's got guitars hanging everywhere and the lighting is perfect. I mean, you really feel like you're just playing in a really cool town's living room, like just the publicly shared living room that everybody hangs out in.
Oh God. We love that. I mean, the house show vibe is such a like wonderful thing that we get to do sometimes, you know, like we love the whole festival thing, you know, playing to thousands of people, doing the whole like big show type thing. But when you really get down to it, sometimes those intimate nights in like someone's living room, playing your music for someone who's really listening to your arrangements, all the stuff you spent hours and days on, it really makes it, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's still a dedicated venue. Don't get me wrong. Like, you step outside and you are right back in downtown Carbondale, but there's like this magic little cozy sphere that happens in that room. It's very cool. So
it sounds like
you guys are really well suited for it. I have to know, I'm always so curious whenever Steve reaches out and he's just such a good curator of music. You've never played before. How did you find yourself in communication with Steve? How did this gig come to be?
Well, you know, we're pretty much an independent band, but for this last record that we just released on February 8th, we decided to kind of go the full, you know, the full Monty with it. So we ended up finding ourselves like a booking agent. We're working with a label. We're working with a great PR company through the label. And then another PR company for a couple other things. We like decided to just kind of go, you know, face first into this thing.
Wow.
And actually met him. Yeah, no, it's, you know, because being independent, you make that shift all of a sudden. It's a bit jarring, but it's kind of lovely because you get connections like Steve's Guitars from our agent, Mike Kies, who's with this company, Strategic Touring.
Yes.
He's wonderful. You know, he's been working very hard to make sure that we are meeting our goals this year and kind of booking all the right gigs and connecting with people like Steve.
Very cool. Very cool. So, now I kind of want to like jump on that tangent with you because there is such a high concentration of talent in this valley. And I am so sure there's somebody listening right now who is like, wait a minute, I've been an independent musician and I've been thinking about, you know, making that shift. You know, it sounds like you feel like it's been worth it. But logistically, how did you as a band come to that decision and that consensus? And then how did you start vetting the process and you know, representation?
Well, that's a bit of a story, but I mean, to start off, I mean, we, you know, being as independent as we were for so long, you know, we learned how to do everything by ourselves. Like, you know, Mary, Melanie, and Allison usually handle like Instagram, Facebook, all sorts of stuff like that. I usually handle like technical sides of stuff, like advancing, sound stuff. Harry handles all the numbers and all the money. And everyone just kind of like, it's just this division of labor that you kind of develop after a while. But when you get to a certain number of shows a year, that division of labor, like, it's going to break down. If you're hitting, like, 100, 120 shows a year, it's just hard to do that and maintain the level of art that you're going for. Like, you know, you can't spend 5 hours working on business stuff and then say, well, I'm going to go practice for 3 hours, you know?
You mean you can't just turn your art on like a switch?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I feel like everyone could do that, right?
On demand. On demand.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you guys have been together for a long time. How long have you been together?
Oh, man. We've been together for, I think 8 years total almost, but around seven. And we've been running professionally, I think, like 3 or 4.
Wow. So I have to know the genesis story. How did you meet? Tell me everything.
Well, I can't tell you how everybody met, but I can give you my input on how I got into the band.
Yes, please.
Basically, I was at my second week of freshman year in college, and I came from a real small town in downstate New York, Greenwood Lake. It's no one will ever have ever heard of it, I swear. But, I came from a town with about 2 musicians in it. So I got to college in SUNY New Paltz, where all the rest of us went except for one of us. I got there, and everyone was playing music every single day. Just out on the quad, there were just 9, 10 musicians just doing something. So I freaked out. And I ended up just playing music every day. I, like, missed some class. I did all that. But one day I decided, all right, I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to go get lunch. I'm not going to be hungry for my evening classes. I'm going to go skip all the music. I got to just, like, be a good student. So I walk out of my dorm without a drum. And I'm the drummer. I walk out, and there's, like, just the best band that I've heard, like, in probably the 2 weeks that I was there. So I said, all right, screw it. I'm just going to give this a shot. And I realized they were picking up and leaving, and I had nothing on me to play with them. So I found an Altoids case in my pocket and played it for 3 hours.
What?
Yeah, no, 3 hours. A shaker, a drum, the whole thing. And then I got invited by our mandolin player to join, like, the band to kind of get an audition. So, you know, fast forward about a week. I didn't hear anything from them after that. And it's like Labor Day weekend. I'm like beat. I worked like 3 12-hour shifts. And I get a phone call from this mandolin player I met. And he's like, hey, man, I'm practicing with this band Upstate. And at the time, our name was Upstate Rubdown. But I'm practicing with this band Upstate Rubdown. Like, could you maybe come swing by? And I'm looking at the clock. It's like 10:30 at night. And I'm like, you know, I don't know. Like, it's kind of beat right now. He's like, no, like, seriously, we just need a drummer. Like, come on up. So, you know, I picked up my cajon, which, like, I bought maybe, I don't know, like 2 days before that, and walked on up to the practice room. And I get in there, and, like, the vibe is just so down. Like, everyone just seems, like, really tired and a little upset. And it's a cello player, a mandolin player, two of our women, and our upright bass player. So I get in the room, I sit down, they introduce themselves, and they say, all right, count us in. We're going to give this song a shot. So I count us in, and, like, when I tell you there's, like, lightning in a bottle sometimes, it felt like all the pieces kind of fit in this one group, and we started making music.
That sounds magical.
Yeah, no, it was.
You know, Dean, I'm so sorry that it sounds like you suffer from just, you know, crippling introversion, just unable to put yourself out there.
I know. I'm really shy. It's tough.
Oh, man. Like, I love the idea of this magic, and I love the combination of the instruments you just listed off too. My goodness.
It's morphed over time as well. I mean, shifted away from the cellist. We got a saxophone player in, we added in another lady for, like, harmonies, and then she had to leave, and then we added in another one, and, like, it's a wild time, but, it's finally feeling consistent and solid, and, we're really excited about the record we put out.
Very cool. Very cool. And there's a mandolin involved now. Am I right on that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's been a mandolin since the very beginning. Our most recent mandolin player had to split, but we got this new one that came with us on the road, Dylan McKinstry, who is just obscenely good. Oh, my God. Like, he is insanely good at mandolin.
Oh, that's so great. Tell me about this new album.
All right. So our new album, Healing, it's just the culmination of, like, a lot of music that we've been working on for so long, and just kind of, it really helped define us into what we want out of our music. You know, like, we spent a lot of time on the arrangements, a lot of time on the words, a lot of time on just making sure that, like, every little, like, piece and parcel was right in place. You know, we wanted to make sure that everything just fit and felt like us. Our first album, like, you know, we had some gripes with it. We had some great things about it. We wanted to make sure that this thing was the best possible album we could put together. And we ended up, like, there's 4 main songwriters in the band. I'm not one of them, but I'm working on that. But we ended up working with an insane crew. John O'Rich from the Wood Brothers was our producer. We had Justin Gwip, the drummer for Hot Tuna, who also works with, like, Larry Campbell and Teresa Williams. He was our engineer. We had like the man with the quickest hands. This guy, we call him Almond Mike, who was working Pro Tools the whole time. And it was just the best experience you could possibly imagine.
Sounds like it. So I'm curious from your perspective, you mentioned that you're not one of the main songwriters, but you're working on it. You've also mentioned that, you know, you've been in this band from early on, and it's seen several faces and iterations as it's evolved as well. How do you manage your own individual evolution as a musician and potential songwriter within the evolution of the band?
That's a great question. Part of it comes from the fact that this group is really good at allowing people to grow. Like, you know, I decided early on that I would only play the cajon, the box drum, and not a kit, because that's where I wanted to go as an artist. And yeah, we're all going to get some pushback. We're all going to like try different things, kind of push people into other new things. But in terms of the individuality as an artist versus like kind of getting amalgamating into a group, our strongest suit is the fact that we all bring something totally different to the table. I mean, some of us are into like, you know, old country and like, you know, Hank Williams. Some of us are into like, you know, modern like hip hop. Some of us are into classic rock. Some of us are into like, you know, the Staves, like Lake Street Dive, Americana. Like it, the influences never end, and we all come from such different musical backgrounds that, you know, the individuality is the thing that makes the music great and allows us to keep growing, you know, and we push each other, you know, like we, how do I put it? We try and push each other to try new things, especially things that are out of our comfort zones. Like, for example, I never thought I'd play a country song. We got this song on the record, Sarah, that is absolutely a wonderful country song written by Harry on the bass. And like, you know, there's the whole thing that like we get grouped into kind of the Americana scene, but we can do so much more. I mean, we've got songs like Weekend and Young on the record that like are just total bops, you know, like they transcend that Americana line pretty quickly.
It's funny. I'm staring at your album, actually, the playlist. And as you're rattling off, I was like, oh, Sarah, perfect. Oh, there's Young. I'll pull both of those down for a musical break later. And that's a nice juxtaposition. It sounds like, you know, we'll be able to get a decent flavoring of a couple of different musical profiles out of those.
I mean, yeah, it's a whirlwind. I mean, every song is a different genre, but we can't really place which genre it is. So you just have to use your best judgment.
That's perfect. Well, and that's probably kind of nice, too, to not feel, you know, boxed in by a label of, oh, we're XYZ genre or this type of band. You really do get to explore.
Yeah.
Inevitably, sometimes it can't always work, though. I mean, it's not always lightning in a bottle. Do you guys feel comfortable? Or, I mean, there's not a lot of artistic ego. You can say like, oh, man, you know what? We tried it, but I'm not really sure this one's making the album.
Oh, yeah. No, we have gotten good at that. That was a learning process. You know, we started when we were basically babies. Aww. Like, you know, so we had to learn how to communicate. And as a band, that was like the most positive thing that we could have learned. I mean, you know, one of our singers, Melanie, like talked to me about like non-confrontational communication. I'm not sure if I'm getting the words right, but just about like how to communicate well. And we all had to learn that at different times. And we all grew at different paces in different ways. But you know, it got to the point where we finally feel like, okay, we can reject ideas, we can add new ideas, we can like, you know, like recognize where there's lightning in a bottle and recognize where there's none at all. And it doesn't hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, like we're good enough about that now. And yeah, there's going to be like little like spats and fights and stuff. But as a whole, I mean, like we just learned how to function as a unit out of necessity. Because really what has always prevailed for us is that music is the thing that we're here for. Like, it's not about ego. It's not about the show. It's not about, you know, the record. It's that we love making music together, and we always have. And that, like, even if you're so upset with someone, that won't change. For some odd reason with us, it's just we like making the music. I mean, you could be in the middle of, like, a crazy argument, but if someone's got a great song idea, all of a sudden that just totally goes to the wayside.
That sounds really neat. That sounds really neat. And I also like this idea that, you know, you spoke about Healing, your newest album, about just how much intention went into every little detail. And it's neat to hear that it sounds like there's a lot of intention that went into the cohesiveness of the band, you know, personally, in addition to musically. So that's a cool parallelism.
I mean, people were like giving their like, you know, life stories in these songs, you know, I mean, even with Mother, like, you know, that was a big deal for Mary. It was a very deep song about, you know, just her mother and how, you know, she gave her all these things, whether they're good or bad. And, you know, in terms of looking at that, I mean, people did things like, I mean, for me, I ended up playing paradiddles, a drum rudiment, the whole time, which is the first rudiment any drummer kind of learns, because it felt so basic and primal and kind of from that time in my life, because my dad taught me drums. So, you know, like you do things like that to kind of like bring out the real flavor of the song.
Do you ever feel when you're performing, I mean, it sounds like some of these songs, like you, I mean, I'll use your own words, very primal, very raw. Do you feel that intimacy and that kind of almost exposure and vulnerability when you're performing, or is it just rock solid? It's so well rehearsed. You've got it at this point.
It depends on the night. I got to say, like, sometimes there are shows that just, they hit you harder. You know, there are things that fuel deeper in your soul, you know? And yeah, like we pride ourselves in being a band that's very realistic. You know, our stage presence is very with what's going on. Like for us, you know, we're not going to like do the happy song and dance thing if we're not really like in the happy song and dance thing. You know, like we are entertainers, but we're also people, and bringing that vulnerability has only proven to be, I don't know, helpful for us, you know? So for us, like that idea that like all this like primal emotion and like, you know, and sometimes it's not that primal. Sometimes it's super refined and super heady and like has some deeper content behind it. Like, you know, we just kind of try and go with where it's at instead of trying to, I don't know, fake it.
Nice. So the band's called Upstate and you're from New York. So I'm guessing you're not from Manhattan.
Oh, no. I mean, our bassist grew up there for a little while, but we're all really from the Hudson Valley, which by New York standards isn't exactly upstate. But to us, it was, you know, and also we've got like three at the time when the band was founded, there were three members from like Rochester, Binghamton and Ithaca. So they just kind of figured it would work.
Wow. And it sounds like from your earlier numbers that you guys are performing about a third of the year. You know, how is there a home base for you all now, or are you just always on the road?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for us, the Hudson Valley is a home base, even though it doesn't really feel like we have a home base at certain parts of the year. I mean, we're hitting 150 shows this year, minimum.
Congratulations.
So we're technically on the road for about 200, if not a couple more, because of just other stuff we got to do for the band. So, you know, we really only have, like, tiny little, like, week-long pockets of just time that we can spend, like, in our home base, which is the Hudson Valley primarily.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Is there anything that Carbondalians who are listening right now, who are planning on checking out the show tonight, like, is there something they just absolutely need to know about you all and your story in order to really quote unquote get it, or are you just you're just putting it out there and whatever the takeaway is, that's the takeaway, and that was their individual experience?
You know what? I'm just gonna say let's put it out there and see what happens. And good news, we got some new tunes coming at you tonight that are unrecorded and I've probably only been played like a handful of times, one of which I don't think has been played if we actually get around to it.
Really? Well, no, now it's out there. It's in the airwaves. It's on the record. You've committed.
That's true.
You heard it here first on KDNK, folks. There is going to be a debut from Upstate at Steve's Guitars tonight.
Great. I'm sure the whole band will feel pretty good about that.
Oh, yeah,
right?
You're definitely going to do, yeah, you're going to do all of the radio interviews from here on out for sure.
Oh, man.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so, so much for joining me, Dean. I really appreciate it. I loved hearing the insights about the band's history and where they are now. We didn't really talk much about where you're planning on heading, just because I figured right now you're, you know, basking in the new album. But have you thought about what's next?
What's next? I mean, the cool part about what we got going on right now is that we don't really have time for much else except touring this year. So we're doing that. But we're also like working on writing new songs as much as we can. We're working on opening for some bigger bands, just trying to see where this takes us. You know, I mean, we put a lot of eggs into this basket of this album, and we're hoping to kind of hatch a couple of them. So we're going to find that out.
That's awesome. Well, I'm going to let you be the steward of your immediate future. Should I play Sarah or Young first for a musical break before our next guest?
Ooh, man, I'm going to say, let's go with Young. Yeah, let's throw that one on there.
I like it. I like it. Well, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to listen to the expert, and thank you for joining, and safe travels for the rest of the time. We need to, now the, like, it's there. We're the excitement's there. You got to make it here all in one piece. So safe travels from Ridgeway, and we'll see you here in a couple hours.
All right, sounds good. Can't wait to see you.
Thanks so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Cheers. All right. Per the artist, one of the artists anyway, himself, per recommendation, you're going to be listening to Young off of Upstate's newest album, Healing.
Do I want to be something different than who I am today? Do I have regrets? Yes, I do. Do I? It's hard to imagine when I was young, wishing to be older so I could run anywhere, get away somewhere, different from where I came, where it seemed all the same. But running wouldn't get me any place further from my negative thoughts, and neither would I understand all at hand, all that I had to be to know wasn't all right. Do I wanna be something different than who I am today? All the people that were my company to the side, try to hide. Did I lie to myself, but it don't help, okay. But all this time spent thinking and wondering if it were the right way, took away the time to myself, for myself, time to myself, for
world gets used as
such a fight to pry the doors. Getting women working on the floors. No, they don't make nothing anymore. Can this world get its use out of me? I'm just like a daisy underneath the canopy. With sunlight always out of reach. His GED. Emma left and married young, a man content to raise her son, but Sarah had nowhere to run. So with nothing left to make her stay, Sarah thought she'd move away. But as she combed through locks of graying hair, the mirror seemed to catch her stare. No, there's no sense going anywhere.
That was just Sarah from Upstate's newest album, Healing. And before that, we heard Young, per the request or at least recommendation of Dean, the drummer of the band. You know, despite some troubles along the way, they were having some fan issues, but they're back up and running. They're on their way en route to Carbondale, and they're playing at Steve's Guitars this evening at 8:30 p.m. So if you are wondering what to do this first Friday and are feeling a live music itch, that is definitely available to you. I'm going to pivot kind of hard, though, right now, and I am currently joined in the studio with Jonathan Stokely of Coventure. John, it's good to see you. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. Earlier, I was at lunch, and I mean, it's perfect patio season. So
I love the weather today. I rode my bike in today.
Yeah.
I was wearing short sleeve. If I had as much foresight, I might have put shorts on, but I think I might be getting ahead of myself.
No, but I mean, it feels that way, doesn't it? I mean,
it does.
In Ohio, where I'm from, 60 degrees is still dreary and kind of chilly. And out here, it's like summertime.
I've had a friend visit me from Milwaukee, and he's like, it hasn't hit 50 degrees yet this year, and we still have snow on the ground. Everything's drear. And I'm like, well, welcome to Colorado.
Right. Meanwhile, I can feel a little bit of my sunburn setting.
You do look a little red there.
Yeah, no, I just couldn't go inside today. I could not go in. I got home. I finished up with some work and took the pooches out and hit the patio over at Beer Works, and just that becomes social corner. And then it's like, oh, despite your 4-inch stilettos, let's do the dog park next, you know? And it was funny. I was on that patio, and somebody that I hadn't seen in a while stopped by, and without really getting into today's show at all, just natural conversation, he's like, hey, do you know what's going on with that Coventure down the road?
Well, funny you ask.
Exactly. It's like, you should tune into Katie and Kay to hear more, because I'm sure I'm butchering it a little bit. I was like, yeah, they've got an accelerator, incubator arm, and a VC arm, and a co-working space. Did I get the trifecta, or did I miss one?
You've got pretty much hit all the major points. Yeah.
Okay.
You're getting the speech done, so I appreciate that. There's a lot going on there, and that's one of the things we try to stress. I mean, business is very complicated, and the easier we make it for people and the more we can help people understand it, the more sustainable we can make our community.
Yeah.
Because it's not this big scary thing, but it's you know, like anything, you know, break it down in little pieces, understand this one little section and how it works, and then how it integrates with the others, and then everything, we can work together and make something beautiful.
No, that's great. And, you know, last time I had you in the studio and we were chatting, it was before the big official public grand opening, which was so fun, by the way. Congratulations.
Went great. I could not believe we fit that many people in
there. Was packed.
It was packed.
It was packed. And there was art happening. Like, the mural was getting painted in the side room as people are, you know, drinking wine and networking and hanging out. Like, that was a very cool vibe.
I know. I was stuck behind the bar the whole time. So it was one of those things where I kept being behind the bar and looking and saying, oh, wow. Like, I can't believe this. The line of people that kept coming up to me is just new face after new face after new face. And it was just one of those magic moments. You're like, this is happening.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
So had the this is happening moment. Now that that's happened, what is happening? Like, what's going on?
Well, I'm glad you asked. We have our next event, or actually our biggest event all year, on the tail of our grand opening. So we've been working really hard the last few weeks with six different local businesses to get them ready to pitch in front of a number of investors and the community. So we have six different businesses anywhere in the software and tech space, and also in manufacturing and a couple different industry verticals that are looking for venture capital to really take their business to the next step. Some of them are pre-revenue, and some of them are very much making good revenue and have established themselves, but they're looking to pour some gas on the fire and really kind of build things and take it to the next level and really kind of amp up their marketing to kind of have more of a global reach. And our accelerator program, if some of you out there listening might have attended or remember hearing it, we had all women go up on stage and present, and it was very much businesses of the community, like Way Home was one of them. Lacey, and she did a phenomenal job. And with that, we were able to raise $1.25 million for those businesses, and which allows for over the creation of over 50 jobs here in our local community. So this accelerator program we're having this year is a little bit different. They're more what we consider, I hate using the word game changing or changing at all, but these are businesses that will have global impact and really changing and creating more sustainable economic resiliency for jobs in our community. Mm-hmm. And so we have less reliance on tourism, but actual community of businesses and an ecosystem that can sustain, you know, future generations that'll be having everything from potentially manufacturing and tech jobs to the very high skill labor that is, you know, what we kind of look for, you know, and having a strong, sustainable community.
Very cool. So I've always been curious when it comes to a pitch fest, and we're obviously not talking baseball here, right? But when you're identifying these six companies that, mm-hmm. you know, I'm assuming it's the traditional, they've got the slide decks, they've got their whole presentation, the whole shebang. They're literally making their kind of elevator pitch as to why you should invest in them and their
exactly.
growth. How do you identify those six companies?
So that's a very good question. It's very difficult too, because there's so many businesses out there. And when we're evaluating these businesses, you know, I look at Carbondale and I see these businesses that every day, but at the same time, it's, you don't understand how many businesses are there. And like, and back of El Jebel, there's this company, IO Mounts, that they are changing. Actually, I have one on my phone, changing how our phones and our lifestyle integrates. So they have these really cool little magnet tiles that you can put on anything and then transition, whether it's a speaker or a phone or any other device, a tablet, and put it on a stand, or you can put it in your car, or you can put it on your mountain bike and track your Strava going down the mountain, or depending on what trail you're on, see where you're going so you know to take a left instead of a right.
That's amazing for
yeah.
the directionally challenged among us.
Oh, tell me about it. So when we're evaluating these companies, we have kind of a different set of criteria we look for every time. Like before, we were kind of especially looking for like strong women in our community that really represent who we are as Carbondale. And so this year we're kind of looking at, it's like, all right, well, what are some of the more companies that we could potentially have for not necessarily manufacturing, but making more of that global impact, or could really not necessarily put Carbondale on the map, but able to provide sustainable jobs. And because that's one of the big things we're looking for is that economic resiliency, and seeing, well, all right, we have, once they get up and going, maybe not creating hundreds and hundreds of jobs, but if we could create go from 3 or 4 employees this one company to potentially 20 or 40, you know, that's pretty awesome.
That's
huge. Whether they all work here or whether they work in other parts of the company, one of App Omni, they do cybersecurity, and they are one of the companies in our incubator, and it started with one guy working in the co-working center, and he got a $3 million raise for initial ask, which is really phenomenal. He's a really smart guy, and what he's doing with the cybersecurity is making it where you can understand all the issues with your business and kind of making it very simple, because people think cybersecurity, oh my God, you hear about it in the news, what does that really mean? But he's able to take that, and he hired several employees out of the co-working center, and they're now working for the company. So he took these freelancers that were just using it, I need a place to get out of my house, and now they have jobs. And that's really kind of what we're looking for and some of the criteria that we were evaluating for this go around.
That's very cool.
Yeah, I think so. It's a good story to tell, especially
sure.
like growing our community and trying to give back and, you know, making it more resilient.
No, I think that's solid. I mean, that's something that you hear all the time of like, oh, this is this beautiful, wonderful place. But it's kind of difficult to penetrate in a way that lets you establish roots.
It is. I mean, my wife is a teacher here, and so that helped her get a job here. But I was living in Chicago at the time several years ago, and it's like, well, hey, I'll figure it out. And I've been figuring it out since. And with CoVenture, it's, you know, it doesn't have to be hard. And to me, that's one of the staples of a community, is that we work together to achieve a common goal. And it's great that we do have the jobs here that are, you know, tourist based, but at the same time, there's a much bigger world out there, and there's much more vibrant, that resilient, that we can bring in here and really learn from each other. Because to me, it's the more kind of, say, I don't say cooks in the kitchen, but the more opinions and the more perspective we have, the more everybody learns and grows and moves forward together.
Yeah, I kind of want to piggyback off of that, because you're touching on what my friend was asking me about earlier. And when I mentioned the accelerator incubator program, he's like, wait, those sound like buzzwords. What does that actually mean? Does that mean, you know, people are volunteering, like your attorneys and marketers and accountants are volunteering time? They're consulting. Are you paying them to be available? Like, what's the, you know, nuts and bolts of making this thing work?
A little bit of everything. I mean, if there is anybody out there listening and they want to volunteer, and they are business professionals and have the time, we're all about having not only speakers come in, but programming, and whether it's a social event and you hear a speaker, or whether it's, I mean, we have our incubator program coming up towards the end of April and beginning of May. And it's a chance for people to kind of get involved and saying, hey, I've got an idea. Somebody to say, I have an idea. I think I can make money. I think I can do this on my own, but I don't know what the next steps are. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the ideation portion of it. And then the incubator is taking that idea and really growing it to that next step. And one of the women in our current accelerator program came from our incubator last year, where we gave her away the $10,000. Andrea Rego has a home design app using AR technology, basically using your cell phone and its camera to measure the distance in a room and then select furniture for that room. And so more taking hundreds of pictures and going from website to website and tracking it. You can have the piece of furniture and remodel your home all from your fingertips and order it and have it delivered. So going from what she had as an idea up into getting her on stage with these venture capitalists to, you know, help her take that to the next level is pretty cool. You know, it's a really good story to tell.
Definitely.
I think anyway.
You have no investment or anything.
No, I don't actually. No, I've just been helping her grow, because I see this woman that she was teaching Zumba classes, and she's such a smart, talented person. And she just, you know, like everybody else, sometimes we just need somebody to either hold our hand or, you know, sometimes give us a push. And
yeah.
So helping her with getting all the pitch deck and, you know, what are the investors looking for and what are the key elements of your financials that you should have in place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. It's a huge task. And I can't tell you the number of times that we've had a conversation with her and saying, hey, you know, you need to tweak this or you need to change this, and then say, all right, no, go do it. And then she comes back and like, all right, let's keep tweaking it and keep, you know, that evolution and that innovation of your idea and seeing it grow. And now it's their app was just released, I think, or just about to be released on iTunes store, so you can actually download it and go and, you know, start making your dream home from your fingertips.
Nice. Yeah, it's so funny to me how many people have these amazing, you know, my joke is that it's always the town, it's the valley of PhD dishwashers, right? Like, you never know what somebody's background is. You have no idea crazy. What their side hustle or project is, yeah. but they probably have one and it would probably blow your mind,
yeah.
right?
It is. And that's what I love about just the co-venture is because it has so many different people from so many different backgrounds and walks of life that brings people together. And I mean, when you walk down the street or maybe you see somebody at the restaurant, you say, you know, you don't think twice about it. But then when you actually have the chance to start talking to them, especially when somebody has this idea and they have this passion and you can see the energy and you can like feel the electricity, it's like, wow. And to me, that's what makes it worth it. This is what we're trying to grow is because everybody does have that skill. They do have that speciality. They just, you know, sometimes just need a little encouragement.
Yeah. I mean, the conversations you were mentioning earlier about, you know, what's your next growth management and what's your next financial, you know, checkpoint and being held accountable. Those are the kinds of conversations that will put that fire out of somebody's eyes a lot of times.
I've seen it time and time again. You know, you start asking hard questions and I mean, it's deer in the headlights. Time and time again, because it's looking at somebody that's like, well, I have this idea, it's going to be great. But then you're just like, well, how and why? And they're like, well, I mean, marketing, social media, I get that, but you know, accounting or finance or, you know, dot, 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 dot. It's those are the elements that people not necessarily have unless you went to business school, unless you've been in the trenches and worked for the corporation. And even then, sometimes you get siloed and you only learn the one thing. So it's how do we just have those conversations with people to try and kind of vet out what they're thinking? You know, what does it merit? Could it be sustainable? I mean, everybody has a great idea, you know, but, you know, sometimes you just need that sounding board to say, well, is this a great idea or could it be tweaked a little bit? Or, you know, how do we position this a little bit? Because you could be saying, hey, oh, I want to do this one thing. And they say, well, have you thought about it like this? And then when you say it like that, like, whoa, mm-hmm. You changed my perspective on everything.
So if somebody wants an audience with that kind of a sounding board, but they're terribly intimidated, right? They don't come from a startup background. They didn't go to the business school, mm-hmm. right? Do they just walk into CoVenture and say, hello, hello, hello? what's the best way to get involved?
As simple as that. Yeah, just walk in. You can email us info@coventure.io. Stop in. Ask for meet myself, Jonathan, Evan, or Mike. We're generally one of us is always there, or we got a number of great, awesome volunteers and ambassadors that help kind of can show you around and help answer questions. But we're really proud of some of our community partners and our state partners, specifically with the Small Business Development Center. Through the SBDC, you're able to come in, sign up, and get free business consulting with professionals. And so this, for anybody out there that's listening, whether you have time and you want to help give back, we're looking for more consultants. But also in that same time, if you have an idea or you have a small business or, you know, you're working with something, you have this problem and you're not sure and you just want somebody to help you figure out that problem or talk through it or a sounding board or, you know, you just want that expertise that you don't have. The Small Business Development Center is a great way to start. It's really a segment that you can come in and talk to somebody, no judgment, and very open environment to say, what do you think of this? Or how should I approach this or solve this? And looking at that and kind of growing it from one step, because business is a never ending set of problems. And having somebody there to kind of guide you through that, especially at the low cost of free, is really hard to beat. So I really encourage anybody out there that either wants to be a consultant and give back to the community or that has an idea or a small business and wants to help develop that, come in and talk to myself, Evan, or Mike, or, you know, we can get you signed up with the Small Business Development Center. We have a number of brochures and cards with that information that can direct you to the right place and place you with one of our consultants.
Cool. You make it sound so easy.
Well, and that's, I think, one of the biggest lessons I've learned in business anyways. I mean, business is simple. People make it complicated. And, you know, especially, I mean, that's one of the great things of working with all these entrepreneurs is they see their business and they start going down the rabbit hole of details and like, whoa, let's back up. Let's keep this as simple as possible. And then, you know, one problem, then the next problem. Mm-hmm. So it's as simple as we can make it, the less scary it can be. And the more likely somebody's going to succeed.
Sure. Is the Pitch Fest open to the public?
It is open to the public. We are asking for a $10 donation, not mandatory, but at the same time, we are CoVenture is a nonprofit, so we need our support from our community. And that's one of the things we're trying to grow back. So it starts at 6:30 next Friday at the 3rd Street Center in the auditorium. We do have on our CoVenture.io website, you can sign up in advance. We'd really appreciate it if anybody could sign up just so we have an idea of numbers, because it's one of those things when you get up there and you're like, well, is there going to be 2 people show up or are we going to be maxed to like a couple hundred?
Oh, yeah.
So really kind of building that out. And yeah, come in. We'll have some light apps. We have a number of our community partners that will be providing food and drinks. And Marble and Roaring Fork Beer Company will be there providing drinks. And then you'll have we have some panels in the afternoon for some of our investors. And then we're also going to be helping kind of grow that next part. And Mike is going to be on stage and developing, kind of talking about everything that we're doing, and not only CoVenture, but you know, how these businesses integrate into our community and how these businesses really develop, you know, people and individuals to grow something great and help change the world and make it a better place.
Very cool. Very cool. And I imagine if you're ever curious about it, you could learn. If you're like, oh, someday I want to make a pitch, you can learn just from absorbing other people's experiences.
And that's, to me, one of the best ways to learn without having to stub your own toe is, you know, listening to other people. And that's where we kind of start with the ideation program as very first step. Let's vet your idea, or let's help you develop it and position it, and then grow that idea and kind of take it to the incubation stage where, all right, we're going to teach you and help you with the marketing and the accounting and the finance and all the other scary things. And then once you got that mastered, all right, you know, you're ready to take it to the next step. That's the accelerator program, and we're really going to help you develop it and grow your business and get employees and grow from there.
That's so cool. That's so cool. Well, Jonathan Stokely of CoVenture, thank you so much. Good luck with your upcoming pitch fest.
No, thank you very much. And everybody listening, I hope to see you next Friday.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining, and thanks for all the work you're doing with with CoVenture and helping build our more diversified local economy.
We're all in this together, and we all just need a little help sometimes.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. We're going to take a quick musical break before our next guest, but I'm going to give you a teaser right now. Jessica, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I love your sound, and I love that it's all in French because it's so reflective of your background. Can you talk a little bit about your own personal history?
Yeah, so I was born in the U.S., but I grew up in France, and my mom is originally from Shanghai, China, and my dad is French. Even though I grew up in France, I grew up listening to only music in English. And then after I moved to the United States over a decade ago, I started to rediscover the music of my childhood and started writing songs and singing in French, but also in a bunch of other languages. Like the first song I think you played of my music is a song in Chinese. Mm-hmm. So I sing mostly in French, but also in a variety of languages.
What language do you typically dream in? I'm just curious.
It depends on my mode of the day, if that makes sense. When I'm here in the United States, where I now live, I live in Los Angeles, I'm probably going to be in an English mode. So I'm going to think in English and more likely dream in English.
Sure.
Unless I'm hanging out a lot with someone in French, in which case I'll probably be dreaming in French. And when I go back to France, spend a bunch of time there, then I switch back to French mode, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So you've got a lot of language at your fingertips, but you have a lot of instruments, literally, at your fingertips as well. You play the accordion, toy piano. You obviously are a vocalist. And I know you're accompanied by some strings, some guitar, bass, clarinet, sax kind of thing. Is that you? Are you, you know, proficient in those instruments as well, or are you pulling people in for that?
No, I think I'd like to brag that I'm a multi-instrumentalist, but really, I'm mostly a vocalist who dabbled. I played piano, accordion, and I guess toy piano, but that's still in the piano category.
Sure.
No, I really just play. I play those instruments. I don't play any wind instruments very well at all.
Oh wow! When you're cultivating your sound. Because you are mixing so many cultures that are so deeply personal to your own personal heritage, like we've discussed. How long of an evolution was that? I mean, what was the process of kind of coming into this very, I think anyway, very unique sound? Maybe it's a reflection of my own limited perspective, but.
Well, I'm still working on that. You know, I think there's never really a time when the musician's quite done cultivating their own sound. I think I tend to listen to music that I love, kind of fall in love with a song and really struggle to do something as good as that song that I heard. and because I listen to music in a lot of languages, I think that the influences were natural. But in terms of how do I find my sound, I'm still trying to find it.
Very neat. And you're, you know, calling on, I mean, that was your Dear Shanghai, your most recent album, sounds like, you know, there's that kind of 1940 style Shanghai jazz. And then obviously we're in the middle of 2019. I can't believe it's already spring 2019.
Right.
And you're currently working on a new album, right?
That's right.
Wow. Wow. So is this just, you know, full time go, go, go? Are you constantly writing music or are you balancing other things in your life? Because it seems very accomplished.
Oh, thank you. That means I probably, the person who wrote my bio did a good job. I think I'm always writing music, but it's very hard for me to write music for my own projects. Like I write music for not only for my band, but also for different projects, including I write music for video games and then for children's songs, for educational programs. So I'm always writing something. In terms of writing my own music, I think that's the hardest because that's the one where I don't have a deadline. And I always feel like writing music that's so personal, there's always so much at stake that it's easy to be hesitant. But right now I am working on a new album and it will be mostly, personal songs in French. And I'm really trying to have this mix of the acoustic music that I love, the French chanson, the French songs that I grew up listening to, have a little bit of that influence, but still have a taste of modern production in the actual recordings. Because even though I love music from the 40s and the 60s, I think that I always, you know, try to make an album, try to make a sound that is a modern album from 2019.
Sure. And audiences locally, because you're based out of San Francisco right now, right?
Los Angeles.
Oh, perfect, perfect. And you are coming, though, to the Valley, Basalt Regional Library, on Tuesday, April 9th at 5:30 you'll be performing.
Yes, it'll be an early show, so we're playing, Basalt Library, 5:30 to 6:30. Doors open at 5.
Great. Are you going to be doing any teasers from your upcoming album, or are you going to be focused primarily on what's already out there?
I'm going to do a couple songs that are new, yes, and I'll be also, you know, playing a mix of my last three records, or just kind of a little bit of everything. I don't only do songs from my last record, which is all in Chinese. I'm going to do a little bit of everything, even possibly some songs in English, But yeah, there'll be a couple of new songs that I wrote recently as well.
That's fantastic. Well, Jessica Fischow, thank you so much for joining. I'm sorry for the technical difficulties up front. Unfortunately, I got to get us into NPR's All Things Considered, but I really appreciate getting some insights about your music and your experiences and what you're working on.
Well, thanks again for having me, and I look forward to being in Colorado soon.
Absolutely. We look forward to hosting you. Cheers.
Bye.